Today's reading will be from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 19. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in the unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ed, for the reading. Before we dig into the passage for today, let us pray together. Merciful God, in this moment we want to just empty ourselves and get rid of the distractions and the thoughts of tomorrow or the challenges we face or what's going on in our lives, and just to be here in the moment and invite your Spirit to enable us to listen closely to what you want to share with us this morning. May we indeed be willing to listen and open to receive your message. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let me ask you, what's on your plate these days? I mean, when I ask you that question, you may be thinking calendar or to-do list. Like the saying goes, I've got a lot on my plate, but what I'm actually referring to is your dinner plate, what you put on your plate when it comes to having a meal. I don't know if you knew this, but the government health guidelines have abandoned the food pyramid, that nutritional model, and they have taken on a new metaphor, which is my plate. So I'm putting a picture on the screen for you. And so what this image conveys is a place setting for a meal. And my plate illustrates the five food groups that are the building blocks for a healthy diet. Thanks, Rebecca. You can take it away. So this idea is that before you eat, you need to think about what goes on your plate. And of course, you know the five food groups, right? Fruits, grains, vegetables, protein, dairy. And I guess you would call that a healthy plate. Unfortunately, a lot of us are not that good at making healthy and balanced choices when it comes to our eating habits. In spite of all the encouragement to eat healthy and all the warnings about plates that are full of harmful foods, we still tend to consume what's bad for us. In fact, our frenetically busy lifestyles and the fact that we have so much on our plates when it comes to living might be the reason we tend to eat the worst kind of foods. Maybe we're too busy to make a good effort at eating healthy, or maybe that's the reason why what's on our dinner plates are often fast and cheap and easy foods. Now, according to health experts, there are four kinds of food that are particularly harmful to us. One is sugar. Sugary drinks account for a big chunk of the obesity problem in the United States. And then there's diet products. Diet foods, you know, trick us into thinking we're eating healthy when all they're really doing is stimulating our appetites to eat more of whatever it is we are consuming. Not to mention the harmful cocktail of chemicals that are used to replace the sugar that we're trying to avoid in the first place. I mean, I used to buy a Diet Coke and a chocolate because I figured I'm saving something on the, but in any case. Another culprit is processed foods, because they taste great, but trans fats are known to raise your bad cholesterol and lower your good cholesterol, and it raises the risk of heart disease. And then there are fried foods. Again, they taste good, but they have a high saturated fat content, which is not healthy for you. So are you hungry for some junk food yet? Now, there's a reason, okay, why we call these junk foods. Because they contribute nothing to our well-being, nothing good, and instead, they make us feel kind of like junk. Because they promise taste and pleasure, and we gorge ourselves on them, and we're never content enough with junk food. And so I think we'll all agree that putting, you know, healthy food on our plates is very important for all of us. But after all of that, okay, I want to talk to you about our spiritual plate this morning. About what's on your spiritual plate. The question of how can we fill up our non-physical plates in ways that make us rich in health and vitality. And so in our passage for today, the Apostle Paul is writing to his young protege, Timothy. And in a way, he is outlining a strategy for getting healthy in a spiritual way. He says, here's how you can get rid of the over-enriched junk food in your lives. Here is how you can become rich in the things that matter instead. In verse 5 of this chapter, Paul warns Timothy of those who think that godliness is a means of material gain, a way to get wealthy. Because you see, in the Jewish community or world of that day, many believed that serving God would lead to financial wealth. And so they pointed to their good works in expectation of a blessing. It's kind of like the early version of the health and wealth gospel, or the prosperity gospel that some preachers preach today, where you just name it and claim it, wealth, as a blessing from God. If you just believe that you will get rich, you will. So Paul says to Timothy, these people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs on the truth. Because to them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. And they think that serving God is a way to get rich. It's like a diet soda or a processed bag of chips. It looks and tastes rich, but it's really a diet full of empty calories. And so instead, Paul says there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. Since we brought nothing into the world and we'll take nothing out of it. I don't know, have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? And there's a reason for that. And so Paul is talking about a diet of enoughness, the feeling of being full of enough of the right things so that you don't crave the wrong ones. And you know, as rich food can be harmful to the body, so the pursuit of material riches can be harmful to the soul. And so Paul says there are some things that you don't want on your plate. Four harmful foods that will absolutely destroy your spiritual life. And the first one he says is discontent. Like too much sugar is the basis of a lot of harmful foods we consume, so does discontent permeate a life that is bent on overconsumption. Why is it that we always seem to want what we cannot have? Instead of wanting what we already have. So Paul says contentment is a key to health. Happiness is not having what you want, but wanting what you have. And so contentment is when you are able to recognize that you're dependent on God's provision first of all. And Jesus talked about our daily bread. Our daily bread. Not a year's worth, but our daily bread. It's not something we earn, it's a gift from God. And when we're content with what we have, our appetites tend to be satisfied and we bypass the junk. And the second harmful food he's talking about is harmful desires. And I think most of us like junk food. I mean, my favorite is the original chicken sandwich, you know, at Burger King. And I think it's easy to get addicted to junk food. And it's easy to think that junk riches will fill you up on the empty promise that material gain will make you happier. Paul says, no, it's a desire that'll hurt your spiritual life. He says, people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. I mean, there are lots and lots and lots and lots of people who will tell you that they've dedicated their lives to the pursuit of money, only to find that in the end, they were actually poorer for it. And so Paul gives a warning about another harmful spiritual food, and that is love of money. Now, I'm sure you've heard people say, well, money is the root of all evil. But that's not what Paul is saying here. He says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money. Money in itself is not the problem. Just like fat and sugar themselves aren't the real problems in our diets, because we actually need them to live. But we need them in moderation, and we need them in perspective. And we all need money, don't we? I mean, we can't really live without it. But when you crave money, instead of merely building it into a healthy lifestyle, then you have a problem. And you're bound to make yourself overweight with it. Remember the story Jesus told about the rich man? I think we talked about it a few weeks ago. He had a bumper crop. So he said, what am I going to do? My barn is not big enough. I will tear it down and build bigger ones. And I'll say to myself, man, you've done well. You've got it made. So I'm going to take it easy and I'm just going to have the time of my life. Except God showed up and said, fool, tonight you die. And your barn are full of goods. Who gets that? And that's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. And so Paul warns about being discontent and about harmful desires and about the love of money. And that's why the fourth harmful food Paul warns us about is an eagerness to be rich. When we're eager to fatten ourselves up on riches. If that's your sole focus in life, then it's easy to become envious of those who have more than you do. I mean, look at them. And I want what they have. And the more we pursue a lifestyle beyond our means as a way of keeping up with the Joneses, and the more we're putting our faith in money to make us happy, the more likely we are to wander away from the faith that actually sustains us. Paul says, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. He says, lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Going down that path may cause you to lose your footing in the faith completely. And you will live to regret it. So what we need is a change in diet. And just like we should avoid the junk food aisle in the grocery store. So Paul tells Timothy to avoid these things. He says, but you, man of God, run away from all those things. Instead, live in the right way. Serve God, have faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, grabbing hold of the life that continues forever. It says, go for the things that have a high value in spiritual nutrition instead. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. These are things you can consume and share as much as you want. Change your diet. Avoid putting discontent and harmful desires and the love of money and an eagerness to be rich on your plate. Adjust your consumption. Change what you put on your plate of life. Do this instead. First of all, set your hopes on God and not your riches. Because you see, junk food doesn't ultimately make us healthy or happy. And neither does a surplus of junk bonds. In the end, only God, the one who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment, can make us happy and content. So are you going to set your hope on money, which is here today and gone tomorrow? Or are you going to set your hope on God? Are you going to be obsessed with money and put your trust in your bank account? Or are you going to put it in Jesus Christ who saves your soul? Are you going to fill your barn with self, or are you going to fill it with God? Paul says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. And secondly, he says, be rich in good works. I don't know if you've ever tried to go on a diet. How many of you have tried that? 1st of January, 2nd of January. I think a diet only works if there's good food to replace the bad. And what Paul is saying is, don't be known by the size of your bank account. Instead, be rich in the amount of good you do for others. Be rich in good works. If you put your money to work for others, it provides good and nutritious fuel for the soul. And it can help make others healthy also. Be rich in good works. He says, tell the rich people to do good, to be rich in doing good deeds. And finally, you know, he says, be generous. Be ready to share. Tell the rich people to do good, to be rich in doing good deeds, to be generous and ready to share. He says, be generous. When we share with others, we store up what Jesus calls treasure in heaven. Things that put us in line with the way of God's kingdom. By being generous to God's church and God's people, we build a treasury that will last, and we gain life that is truly life, he says. So a good spiritual diet will lead us to less consumption and more distribution so that others may come to know Christ and experience real and eternal life and health as well. And so Paul says, be generous and be ready to share. So here's the thing. A full plate can either be a good thing or a bad thing. It just depends on what fills it up. It's about what you put on your plate. Remember the saying, you are what you eat? Are you fast? Are you cheap? Are you easy? Are you taking time to care to eat right and spend right and share right? Are you gorging on junk from your pantry and your bank account? Or are you filling your plate with good food, using your time and your money wisely in the service of others for the sake of God's kingdom? What's on your plate? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I think we all acknowledge that it's so easy to fall into this trap. It's so easy to think that material gain is what makes us happy. Thank you for reminding us. Thank you for encouraging us to have a healthy and a balanced spiritual life. Help us, God, to fill our lives and our souls with the good that is you and from you. And forgive us when we are selfish or materialistic, or when we have a lack of good deeds and an unwillingness to share all the good things that you bless us with for our own enjoyment. May we all get rid of the junk in our lives and embrace the riches that we have through you and your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.